What is this Feast of the Transfiguration and why do we celebrate it at all? It must have some importance. After all, the church interrupts the cycle of ordinary Sundays and asks us not just to observe the feast, but to wrestle with its meaning. At its most basic level, the Transfiguration recalls a puzzling episode in the life of Jesus. On a certain day, he took his closest friends, Peter, James, and John, and hiked up a mountain. When they reached the top, Moses and Elijah, both dead for centuries, suddenly appeared alongside Jesus. And while Jesus was talking with them, his face was transfigured. In the words of the gospel writer, his face began to shine like the sun. Those precise words, shine like the sun, offer an important clue about the significance of this event. Do you remember the gospel story from 2 weeks ago, the parable of the weeds? In the final sentence of that parable, Jesus says, "At the end of time, the Son of Man will send his angels, and they will gather all the evildoers and throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. But the righteous, the righteous, they will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father." Using that exact description about Jesus' face during the Transfiguration, that it shone like the sun, was no mere coincidence. Jesus was trying to shore up the waning faith of his disciples by offering them a glimpse of the future. You see, at this point in the gospel story, Jesus had been hinting to his disciples about the threatening things that lay ahead for himself, namely his passion and death. And he had been alerting them to the real cost of discipleship in their own life, too. Jesus sensed that this news frightened the disciples, so he furnished the experience of the Transfiguration to encourage them, as if to say, "Don't be afraid. Death is not the end. Those who remain faithful to me and who share my values will, like me, shine like the sun in my Father's kingdom." What's that have to do with you and me? We don't need the same kind of encouragement as the disciples did. We know that Jesus' passion and death were not the final word. Unlike Peter and the others, we already know about Jesus' victorious resurrection. So what's the meaning of the Transfiguration for us? I think the key is found in the prayer that I will say on behalf of all of you after communion. Listen to it. "Lord, grant that our participation in these sacred mysteries may transform us into the likeness of your Son, whose splendor you revealed when he was transfigured in glory." That our participation in this feast may transform us into the likeness of Jesus. That's not simply a prayer of encouragement. We are asking God to change us more and more to be like Jesus. For us, Transfiguration is now not about changes in the faith, but changes in the heart. We are asking God that our hearts become more like the heart of Jesus. That I love what Jesus loves. That I reject what Jesus hates. In other words, I want in my life, in my family, and in my country, whatever Jesus wants. That's a pretty tall order. How do I get a heart like the heart of Jesus? Well, the answer comes from today's gospel. Do you remember when the cloud overshadowed the disciples? Suddenly a voice erupted from the cloud saying, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." That's how we acquire the heart of Jesus, by listening to Jesus. Paradoxically, listening to Jesus begins with talking to Jesus, sharing with him what is happening in our life, confiding in him what concerns us, and then asking Jesus to share how he sees these things that we raise up, and inquiring if there is anything he wants us to do about them. And then simply sitting and listening for his response. I give you two examples from my own life. A few months ago, a disagreement flared up between one of my brothers and one of my sisters. In the intervening months, it has only grown more unpleasant. As you might suspect, their disagreeableness does not only affect them, it affects their spouses and their children and the rest of us in the family as well. And so in my prayer, I say, Lord, this quarrel is what concerns me. So I ask your help. I lift my sister and brother up to your merciful care. Help me to regard them both with the same love and patience that you have for them. And let me know if there is something you want me to say or to do about it. And now, Lord, I listen for your response. In the past couple of weeks, I've also become distressed by the increasingly restrictive measures our country has inflicted on immigrants and refugees. I realize that not all of you share this concern, but it disturbs me. So in my prayer, I share it with Jesus. Lord, these measures seem to me to be very mean-spirited. They are causing anxiety and hardship for so many people. I lift up to your merciful care both the migrants and our legislators. Help me to regard them all with the same love and patience that you have for them. And let me know if there is something that you want me to say or to do about it. And now, Lord, I listen for your response. Aspiring to have the heart of Jesus, that's what this Feast of the Transfiguration is all about. Sincerely seeking to know what God wants for us and for our families and for our country. And then cooperating with God to the best of our ability to accomplish that. So that one day, not only our faces, but also our hearts will shine like the sun in the kingdom of our Father. Let us renew our profession of faith. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God,